talk with you on a topic that is very near to my heart. I taught school for a long time. I was a principal of an elementary school. I was a junior high principal of 1,000 kids. And I was assistant principal of a high school of 1,000 kids. I have taught in the elementary schools. I have taught in junior high school. And I have taught in high school. Just never could get it right. You know, just everywhere I kept moving me. But the thing I want to communicate to you, that this was my life, this is what I enjoyed doing, this is what I felt that God called me to do for a long time and enjoyed it. But as a consequence of being around the navigators after a few years, I was asked by the navigator staff if I would resign my job as principal of the school and go full-time with the navigators. And I did that. Over the years, my wife and I have spoken to groups, and we have done a lot of speaking on the raising and the disciplining of children. Invariably, the question always came to me, what is your thoughts, what are your ideas on homeschooling versus private schooling versus public schooling? And I never had any. I did not have my act together in any way, and I felt that I had some negatives on homeschooling. I had some negatives on private schooling because, remember, my kids, or let me tell you, my kids went to public schools probably three-quarters of their schooling life, and it was only when we moved to a big town like this one and found that policemen patrolled the halls in the school that we began to sense that maybe there was something better somewhere. So we made a decision to put our children in private school, my son 4 years, my daughter 6, and then, as I shared with you, after graduating from the private Christian schools, they again went back into the public colleges. And we are quite encouraged with what they've learned, the jobs and the competency that they have. Tonight, I know that there are school teachers here in public schools. I know that there are school teachers in private schools. And I know that some of you homeschool. There is a distinct possibility that I could offend every person in the room within the next half an hour to 45 minutes. This is not my task. Jim did not call me on the phone, and so we hope that you could offend everybody there. That is not the objective. But I have done some study, and as objectively as I can, because I have been asked so many times, what is my opinion? I would like to share with you what I have found, public, private, and personal schooling. And it is not meant to offend. There are ladies and men in this room who are public school teachers that I would love to have had my kids have. We know some in our city that are part of what we do that are public school teachers that are godly men and women that we would love for our children to have. The problem is you can't always pick your teachers. And so I'm going to begin, and I hope that I do not offend, as I begin to share with you some of the data that I have found as I have written, talked to people, and gotten information literally from across the United States. I'd like to start with public education as it stands basically today. And I'm just calling this Roman numeral 1 under public education introduction. Last year, America spent $180 billion on public education, more than twice the actual dollar that was spent 20 years ago, and yet the SAT scores are down by 74 points as they were in 1963. 1963 was the last year, as you even saw on the chart on prayer the first night, 63 was the last year of a high SAT. After that, it has dropped to the bottom, and for a few years was 90 points below the SAT scores of 1963, and yet we spent $180 billion, and that is twice the amount spent in 63 based on actual dollars, disregarding inflation. In 1983, the National Commission on Excellence said, "We are a nation at risk." 5 years later, our very popular Secretary of Education, William Bennett, said, "We are still a nation at risk." 5 years later, we had improved the SAT scores by 16 points, and we are still a nation at risk. I'd like to give you three statistics. Remember, I'm still under introduction. Give you three statistics if you are interested. 30% of all high school students in America drop out of school. Almost one in three. 30% of all high school students in America drop out of school before they graduate. America still ranks far below students in many other countries, especially in math and science. And I will show you some statistics in a moment. The NEA, which is the National Education Association, in which all teachers are encouraged to join. Let's just face it, if you are a teacher, you laugh at that. There is horrendous pressure to join the NEA. The NEA says the problem is money. Secretary Bennett makes the statement, it seems unlikely that we will ever spend enough money to satisfy the NEA. Just take notes and go and read on your own some of these things. John Guyton, who is a social critic and author who is not a believer, makes this statement about the public education. Listen carefully. The competitors who give trouble to American firms came from the patriarchal family structure of Asia, where women take care of their children and where schools teach physics and calculus rather than sex education and Indian rights. There are not enough resources on this entire planet to raise a new generation of civilized children if mothers defect. Look at the agenda that your schools have in your city. And I want you to know, we're not talking New York, Chicago, New Orleans, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Someone came up to me, and I'm embarrassed. I told you the little story about the gay rights thing hanging on the podium. Someone came to me in their town of 10,000, I think it was the figure, a small town, and in their school paper, they advertised the same type of thing in their small town school paper about lesbian and gay rights and calling, and parents complained, and they were told that it had to do with the freedom of the press. I'd like to discuss Roman numeral number next with you, which is problems. Some of the problems that we're facing in the public schools. I'm going to give you positives, and don't worry. I mean, there are positives and negatives on all sides, but we've got to cover them. In doing my study, I'm just a guy like you. But as I've studied and read, you know that William Bennett was Secretary of Education. The United States is divided into 10 districts in which they have a kind of a superintendent or whatever they call them for 10 districts. One of those men lives in Denver. I called him one day and arranged lunch for him, and he met me in Colorado Springs, and I spent a couple of hours with him talking about public education in America today. He is a 17-year veteran of teaching in the classrooms in Colorado. And I talked with him about the NEA. Here's some of the observations both that I got from him and from books that I have studied. The NEA was founded in 1857. Prior to the NEA, being founded in 1857, most schooling was done at home. It was done at home or private schooling. During this time, in the late 1850s up to the early 1900s, we probably were the most literate and best educated country in the entire world. Our first secretary or president of the NEA was John Dewey. He is considered the father of modern American education. In case you do not know about John Dewey rejected all moral laws. He made the statement that truth is relative. He did not believe in God. He says that man has no soul. He was an atheist and a socialist. I will give you a little bit more about our founding father of modern education in a little while. The first problem I said with education was the NEA. The second is humanism. Now, I know that you've heard this before and you say, oh, yuck, here we go again. In case you do not believe it, and it's something that is a little shadowy to you, there is a religion called humanism. It was declared to be a religion in 1961 by the then liberal Supreme Court, which says humanism is a religion. They have manifestos that they wrote in 1973, and they reread it in 1933, and they reread it in 1973. And I will read to you a little out of this. This is an interesting document, and I will read to you a little bit of this in a few moments. Let me read just a couple of to you. It says, there's a great danger out of this book There's a great danger of a final, and we believe, fatal identification of the word religion with doctrines and message which have lost their significance and which are powerless to solve the problems of the humans living in the 20th century. They're saying religion is no longer able. It is powerless to solve our problems. Religious humanists regard the universe as self-existing and not created. Humanism asserts that the nature of the universe depicted by modern science makes unacceptable any supernatural or cosmic guarantees of human value. They go on to talk about God and salvation, and I will read you a few more of those as we go. Some of the signers of the original Humanist Manifesto were John Dewey, a person named R. Lester Mondale, who was the brother of Walter. Walter declared to a group once in a meeting, to a humanist group, "I grew up on a very rich diet of humanism." He himself was a humanist. The Humanist Manifesto 2, which is in here, makes the statement that the next century should belong to humanism. Ladies and gentlemen, I submit to you that it is not some insidious little thing that people talk about that is not really true. It is taking place. It is growing. And because many of us, as teachers, as we went into our classrooms to learn, were taught things that we did not know that we were being taught and that they are subtle. We had an illustration in our fair city a few months ago. A young teacher coming out of the new teaching environment brought all of her students. They were in one day. They had a test the next day. She passed out the test. She told all of them. She said, "Now before you begin the test, I want you to close your eyes." The whole class closes their eyes. And she says, "I want you to let your mind and if your very spirit go to another planet." And she says, "On this planet, I want you to meet someone from outer space. I want you to think of their face, their body, what they look like. Make it up in your mind." And she says, "Now as you take this test, I want you to ask this person from another planet the answers to this test." That is a combination of Shirley MacLaine and John Denver and all those people tied together. Bless her heart, she didn't even know. And she was challenged as a part of that. She was teaching New Age and channeling. And bless her heart, she did not even know. If your children are in any school, you need to be aware of what is taking place and what they're being taught. I'll give you some other few names who signed this one here. Isaac Asimov. Paul Kurtz. I showed you his statement on the overhead the other day. Andrei Sakharov. B.F. Skinner. Good old Betty Friedan. Sir Julian Huxley. And I'd like to read, not names now, but I'm going to read positions to you. Professor of the Southern Illinois University. Professor of Philosophy at the University of New Mexico. Professor of the University of Southern California. Professor at Yale University. Professor of Religion, Columbia University. Professor of Math, King's College. Here's some ministers, the Unitarian Church of Kansas City. Professor of Philosophy, Columbia University, Professor, University of Belgium, on and on and on. And ladies and gentlemen, the people who signed this book saying that there is no God, they are saying that when it comes to sex, as long as it does not hurt someone, it says we believe that the traditional dogmatic or authoritarian religions that place revelation on God or creed above human needs do a disservice. Says we can discover, now listen, we can discover no divine purpose for the human species. You see, that is the reason that abortion can get by. There is no divine purpose for the human species. This is a part of the humanistic movement. Ethics. Ethics is autonomous and situational, needing no theological or ideological sanctions. Short, and here's another one. Short of harming others or compelling them to do so, individuals should be permitted to express their sexual proclivities and pursue their lifestyles as they desire. This includes your children in schools. Well, as first I told you the problems was the NEA, the second was humanism. I'd like to talk to you another problem in the public schools of the good old USA has to do with sex education. Now, we've talked all week about your responsibilities to teach your children and raise them up and teach them morals and teach them the good and the bad and the ugly. And in the olden days, there were a few classes that you could take on sex education. It was called biology and zoology and a few other courses that you could take. But not many, as you can remember back, not many teachers in high school and college really sat you down and talked to you about the facts of life because they thought that was your parents' responsibility. Now, parents have fallen down on the job, and so therefore, in many instances, public schools have picked up on the job. They're teaching your children how to have sex from manuals. There are actually movies out, and they have been challenged where the actual sexual relationship has been shown on the screen. Now, not everywhere. I'm not saying this is rampant. I'm just saying that this has happened. They're teaching your children such things as contraception, abortion, premarital sex, homosexuality, masturbation, venereal disease, pornography, and incest. Now, if they were able to use this book, that would be all right. But you must remember that in 99% of the cases, this book has been banned. So therefore, what you have is a teacher, man or woman, in a class teaching stuff, as I've just shared with you, with absolutely no biblical principles at all. They have been disregarded. I would like to read to you from an article regarding an organization called SEICUS, S-E-I-C-U-S. It stands for Sex Education and the Information Council of America. It is called by Post Magazine, it is shaping the structure of American sex education, and McCall's Magazine says it is without a doubt the most single important force in sparking sex education in school. It is called SEICUS. I would like to read from to you a statement made by one of the leading men from SEICUS. Now, his language is so obscene. His language was so gross and vulgar that I will not and cannot use the words, but he was speaking to a group of sex educators and he made the following statement. He says, having a blankety 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 blank good time on earth is far better than getting into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God. Then the blankety blankety blank church does disallow premarital sex. We had better fight this blankety 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 thing. At the end of this, the group of men and women who are being taught sex education for American high schools stood up and clapped. He is one of the leading teachers. Another area that there are some problems is some of the liberal teachings that are going on. And I have ordered magazines. I've gotten even from the NEA. I read these things and I said they cannot be true. So I sat down and wrote the NEA and I've read their materials. They have a magazine called Choices. In this illustration of Choices, your children are told about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Now, there's not a person in the room that does not know about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There's not a person in the room that would not just rejoice if every nation and country in the world did away with every nuclear device that we've got. But in this issue of Choices, in which your children are asked to sit and read, they are shown a movie of charred, mutilated, burned, and dead bodies. They are told of the decision to drop this bomb, and they are told what a hideous, wrong decision this was. And they're never given other information, such as it was also estimated that an invasion of Japan at that time would cost 2 million lives. They're never told that we bombed one city in Germany during World War II and that there was a firestorm set up and that there were more people killed with that normal bombing. So I'm not, please don't hear me. I'm not talking pro-nuclear, anti, I'm not talking anything. I'm saying that what your children are hearing is so slanted one way that they're not getting a truth. They're not getting both sides of the scripture. Well, I've got a whole bibliography of books that I would be glad for you to get. And I would leave this up here if you're interested in reading. There's one out called America Betrayed. And part of it came as I showed you the article where the humanist wrote the story about the living corpse of Christianity and the growing religion of humanism. Now I like, this is Roman numeral 3. I'd like to give you some statistics. The Department of Education states that in 1989, there are 24 million functionally illiterate people in the United States, virtually all of whom had from 8 to 12 years of compulsory public education. That is approximately 10% of the American population, and in 1910, only 2.1% of the population was functionally illiterate. We have come a long ways. In 80 years, none of us will be able to read. This year, it is 10% with 24 million people who spent between 8 to 12 years in the public schools and are functionally illiterate. Cannot read enough to even read the newspaper. Cannot read Bible stories to their children. This year, 1 million students will quit school. 700,000 will graduate not being able to read or write. About a month ago, there was before a Senate investigating committee. I believe he is a linebacker for the Redskins. His name is Dexter Manley. Dexter Manley went through high school, he went through college, and has played 5, 6, 7 years in the NFL and cannot read. Now, he taught himself to read and sat before the Senate investigating committee and wept. And he was attempting to read his story, and one of the senators felt so sorry for him, said, "Mr. Manley, why don't you put down your paper and just talk to us?" And he wept before that committee because graduating from high school and college, he could not read. In American Leadership Magazine of October of 1987, titled America's Math Problems. Math tests were given to students from 20 countries around the world. Of all eighth graders that took it from around the world, American eighth graders ranked 10th in the world. And it was given to 20 countries. So we ranked 10th. In algebra, we ranked 12th, and in geometry, we ranked 16th. In the top 5% of all students who took it, there were 5 Americans. They tested some schools from around America, and they took a group from one particular city. The highest score that was scored in that entire city's math department was not as high as the lowest score from any of the Asian countries. The latest statistic in America is that 50% of all engineers who are studying engineering in America today are from outside of our country. 50% of all men and women studying engineering are from outside of our country. Based on the world's literacy test, of all the countries in the world, America now ranks number 22. There are 21 countries in the world today, 1989, whose population is more literate than we are. Recently, a state passed a competency test for its teachers. One teacher with a master's degree walked out of the test, called her brother, who is a superintendent of the schools, and said, "This competency test was a joke. There is no person," she made the statement, "a sixth grader could have passed this test. This is a joke." Ladies and gentlemen, on that test, 48% of all teachers failed it, and some took it 6 times before they passed it. If you watch men like Robert Ballard, I watched him the other day, and he was frantic as he was trying to get science and issues on TV for our children. I'd like to show you a few statistics as to what is happening around the world. Do you remember the thing that came out on TV where children were given a geography test and they couldn't even find major continents, much less cities? Now, this was 6 years ago, international testing. You see where we ranked, and I know we're behind Canada, Sweden, and Great Britain. This was on geography. This was on math. This is international testing with students around the world. We didn't do real well. Any country you look at, we were behind. This is science. We were only ahead of France and Switzerland. Okay, that is some of the ugly. There has been some progress made under, I feel, the direction and the force of Secretary Bennett. The thing that I regretted the most is that he did resign. He was under such constant harassment that he resigned. The SAT scores have come up 16 points. There has been a charge against groups that the SAT is being taught in the schools. Rather than teaching the courses and then having the kids take the test, there have been some charges that children are actually being given the SAT test before they take it, so that they can take it a couple of times before they actually take it for the real time. All 50 states have adopted some types of reforms. 46 states have passed teacher competency tests, and I don't know how good they are, how bad they are, but at least it's progress. Here's some problems again that I would like to share with you. As Bennett said in one of his meetings, until we as Americans are willing to believe what we see and stop dealing with our U.S. American patriotism that they must have been given the wrong test, all these other countries were taught the test before they got there, until we as Americans are willing to look and say, we got a problem, the problem is going to get worse. There's something about us that will not allow us to believe that we rank number 22 in the world in anything. We've got to be number one. But I got news for you. In illiteracy, we rank number 22 behind countries like Yugoslavia and Hungary and Belgium. We rank number 22. And until we are really willing to realize that and begin to take steps as Americans. There was just a research done and makes this statement. The average American mother believes that her child is above average in mathematics achievement. This was a little test that were given to moms. And you saw on that chart, we rate last. But the average American mom believes that her children are very, very gifted in math. If your child makes very, very good in math, science, English, and social studies in your high school, that's great. But I'd go to the high school and say, let me see the SAT scores. Let me see the Iowa Test of Basic Skills scores. I mean, if everybody in the class is making 22 and your daughter makes 28, she gets an A. Okay, let's go. And I got those bibliographies if you'd like to have them. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about private schools. At one point in America, about 3 to 4 years ago, there was one private school opening per day in America. One per day. Now, that is because of what we've just seen. There was a frantic flight from the public schools. There are secular private schools, you know, the Northwest, Southeast, Central Boys Military Academy of Kansas City. I made that up. That's a secular school. Then there are Christian private schools. Both secular and private Christian schools tested better than the public schools. And the people are saying, well, in your private schools, you don't have to deal with the things we have to do in public schools. And as a matter of fact, that's not true. I was on the school board of a private Christian school for a couple of years. And we had drug problems. We had single parent problems. We had divorce problems. We had girls getting pregnant. We had guys being drunk. We had the same things in the private Christian schools
You would think, what in the world? You would think you wouldn't, but you do. So you've got the same problems. I'd like to show you this. Now, the white score is the national for public school. I'm sorry. Yes, the public school. The non-pub, this is the slanted is for the non-public, like the military academy at Kansas City. It's just a secular private school, and the black score is actually, now that is the, it's a Christian school organization like in, no, I can't say that. It's not like NEA, but it is an association that private Christian schools join that are very strict on the schools that are there. They have to have very hard and serious requirements before they can be members of that. So you can see both secular and private Christian schools, almost without exception, are the winners hands down, in any grade level you want to evaluate. Yes?
Does that consider economic levels of the parents type thing? It would seem like in private schools, the parents would be more able to afford private schools than...
Well, sure, they're able to provide it. I mean, they're able to provide. I don't know. That is just, they took all test scores from secular schools, private Christian schools, and high schools. They had no economic, and I think your statement is true that there are probably, you know, there are people who, quote, can't send their children to private schools. They have to, whatever it might be, keep them in public schools.
Just as a matter of answer to that, there's an organization called World Impact that deals with inner city kids. They have private schools in the inner city. So you're taking private Christian schools in the inner city. These kids come in testing bottomed out. By the time they graduate, their tests are far and above the average of public schools. So you're talking bottom of the bottom of the kids, starting at the bottom and ending up higher than the average of the others. So I don't think we can say it's purely an economic situation.
Yeah. Let me get through so we make, cause we are going to have to get out of here. So let me make sure we get through. Then we'll try to field any questions. There was suggested in relation to this question, excellent question. At one point, there was some suggestions by leading people in public education that we might start offering vouchers. Vouchers is the idea that whatever your school district costs to educate your children, for instance, the average cost to educate a children at Colorado Springs Christian School 2 years ago was $1,650. The average for the Colorado Springs School District was $3,200. So what there was suggested was that in El Paso County, let's just pick a figure, say it costs $3,000 to educate per child, that El Paso County would take from the tax money and give a voucher to a family who had three kids. They would give them a voucher worth $9,000. Now, these parents could use this $9,000 only for education, but they could choose private education or public education. That did not fly very well. And probably some of you know why. The NEA fought that very, very drastically. There are people who would, quote, like to have their children in public school, in private schools that can't because they can't afford it. There are other people who maybe do have the better money, if I may, be blank, and they probably have their kids in private Christian schools. On the other hand, we have also found that those people who have the money sometimes do neglect their children tremendously and try to buy their freedom. Buy their love. Let me give you some things to look for in a private Christian school. Each school must stand on its own. You cannot take this chart and say, okay, I'm going to put my child in a private Christian school. You cannot do that. There are private Christian schools out there that are junky. There are private Christian schools out there that start all kinds of education for all kinds of reasons that are wrong and ungodly, and you can put your child in there and they will get a far worse education than they would in public schools. You have got to say, I will go to this school and I will ask to see their test scores. I want to see what's going on. Don't let them snow you. And if they don't have test scores, don't put your kid there. They're hiding something. I'm just being blunt with you. Don't get snookered. Okay? If they don't have test scores to show you how their children are doing, I would reconsider. In a private Christian school, Extracurricular activities will be very, very limited, and normally they will be very, very bad. I have sat through choirs that had 12 people, and all 12 sang a different song. Some of them are great. I'm talking generally. I know we've got a choir director for a private Christian school in here. I'm taking my life in my hands. But, you know, the band will have 4 people, 2 flutes and a clarinet and a bass horn. And we have sat through that and said, that's good. Keep it up, baby. You know, and you're sitting there with your hearing aids turned off. Athletics will be usually limited to basketball and soccer. And they will be bad. Usually. The cost will not be insignificant. It will be $200 to $400 per child, usually. And some schools will prorate it. You know, if you got 4, it won't be $1,600. They'll give you a $5 break. It'll be $1,595. But it is not insignificant to put your children in a private school. And remembering that the extracurricular activities will be bad. If they have an art, it'll be in the kitchen. You know, if they have band, it'll be in the choir room. Usually because many of your private Christian schools are tied into a local church. And many, many times, the members of the faculty of that school must be members of that church. And so if you're going to put your children in that particular school, you better find out the doctrine of that church, because your child inadvertently will get the doctrine of that church. Because where I used to be as on the school board, every member of the faculty had to be a member of that church, and they've done away with that now, but all administration still have to be a member of that church. Some Christian schools emphasize the Christian. You know, and all they do is read about David and Goliath and Samson, and they do the good Bible studies, and your kids are coming home telling you these wonderful Bible studies, and they can't add. Some Christian schools emphasize the school aspect, and your kids are put through so much pressure, and they never learn anything about the Bible. If you're going to want to send your kid to a Christian school, you better get in there and dabble around and find out what they are doing. Remember, let me say to you again, those are your kids. And if the school is not willing to let you dabble around and ask questions, there must be a reason. So all is not all that great and wonderful. I would say to you, if your children are in a private Christian school, there is something that you still do, and that is you still pay taxes. So therefore, there are things in the city that your children can be allowed to do. Although they don't attend the public schools, they can go and try out for the local high school baseball team. They can try out for different activities and be involved in things because you still pay the taxes. Now, the chances, if they don't go to the high school, the chances of them making the team are probably less than if they went. But if your child has got a lot of abilities, go and say, hey, I pay taxes. My son just doesn't happen to go here. He's either homeschooled or he's private schooled, but I have a right to come here. They can get in the band, they can get in choirs, they can become a part of all the things in the city that have to do with public education that you want. There are even stories about kids taking, being allowed to leave the private school at a certain hour and go to the local high school and be a part of the choir, be a part of the band, because you still pay your taxes. So that's something that you can check into. But please hear me saying that just because it has the name private or Christian does not mean it is good. You must get in there and look around and be sure that you are, quote, getting your money's worth. And there will be things, you know, the facilities will not be good. I remember for all the years that my kids went to, they had to take their lunch. There was no cafeteria. They ate in a classroom. And, you know, their gym was the auditorium for the church. All the chairs had to be moved every week. The church was dedicated to this program, and they put down outside carpet, and they drew the basketball floor. In fact, we've got one of the basketball players in the room. He played there for years. And they drew the basketball floor, not on tape, but they had it painted on the floor. And we play high school kids that were from other places, and they'd come in, they'd bounce the basketball, and they'd go bloop. And you could see these kids standing around saying, what is this? You know? We won a lot of games that way. We learned the ball didn't bounce, and they, you know. But, of course, we lost when we went to real courts. But, so there are disadvantages. There are disadvantages. And so you need to make sure that you are willing to pay the price for the disadvantages. Okay. Now I've aroused the enmity of two groups. Now I'm going to the homeschooling terrorists. Homeschoolers. Nearly 500,000 students in America today are being homeschooled. 500,000. The families who homeschool, they range over absolutely every occupation known. They are ambassadors, they are people, they are legislators, both state and national, farmers, pastors, pediatricians. The professional group that makes up the largest number of people homeschooling, would anyone want to guess what they are? Teachers. The professional group that has the largest number of people, quote, keeping their home, their children at home, teaching them at home, are professional teachers. You can read into that any way you would like. I have about 6 issues that I would like to speak to you on homeschooling. Why people do it? I mean, why do we do this? You would be reading about me in the paper. You know, local man goes berserk, kills wife, kids, neighbors, and then shoots himself. I'm not sure I could have done that at home. Why do people homeschool their kids? Well, let me give you a few reasons. They believe that raising their kids is their business, Deuteronomy 6:5. Remember, before the turn of the century, it was almost all done at home. It was totally exclusively, not exclusively, almost totally done at home. The only types of schools we had were homeschooling and private schooling until we made a breakthrough with public education. Now, a second reason is the poor quality that many people say they see in public education. A third one is the humanism in public schools, and we have addressed all of those. A third one is that there is a growing concern that for a while we went the way that, you know, all kids by the time they're 2 should be in preschool and by the time they're 5 should be able to work in IBM. There is now a growing concern that this is not true and that children would be far better off to be kept home until they're around the ages of 8 and 9 years old because that is when their best learning patterns begin to take place. Now, this is out of Waylon Moore out in Wickenwacken, Washington somewhere. But there's a lot of people who are agreeing with this, and so they are keeping their children home, teaching them at home until they get around these ages, and then they're turning them loose on the world. Roman numeral number 2. First was why they do it, and I gave you 3 or 4 reasons. Number 2, I wrote to Waylon Moore in Wickenwacken, Washington. Where is that in Washington? Somebody, there's homeschooling terrorists here. Where is that in Washington? Jay, where is Jay? Did he leave? He didn't want to. Wickenwacken, Washington, you know, that's in Washington. And I wrote him for a lot of information. They have some guidelines. If you are going to homeschool, let me give you some of these. If you're thinking about it, let me give you some guidelines that you ought to consider. First, it says that teaching is a full-time job for you. It says if you are going to be a mom who teaches outside of the home, then you need to do 1 or 2 things. Hire someone to teach your kid full-time or quit your job or don't do it. Is you cannot work a full-time job, come in the evening and sit down and homeschool your child. They say, ixnay, don't do it, forget it. Homeschooling for first graders is the very hardest because they can't read. So you have to be with them every minute helping them understand. Once they begin to read, then you have some flexibility. But it says first it's a full-time job. It says, number next, 2, teaching requires good discipline. If Johnny will not get off the drapes when you tell him, if he will not do anything you tell him, then how do you think Johnny is going to sit at your little desk and say, Johnny, read your home, do your homework, do your math, do your science, do your English? Because Johnny, you are mom to Johnny, and you don't make him do anything else for the other 23 hours of the day. Why does he think you're going to discipline him for the 2 hours a day he's supposed to be in school? If your children are not disciplined, don't do it. Emphatic. Third thing it says is that teaching requires commitment and organization. I'll read to you exactly what they say so that I do not misquote. Commitment means that school comes first. Things at church cannot take precedent. Painting the house, picking the peaches, cutting the grass, or attending a wedding cannot come first. All of these things must be second place to your commitment to day-by-day teaching of your children. Does the TV control you? I'm reading from the magazine. Does the TV control you? When you go shopping, do you go one place, get home, and realize you should have gone five other places, and then you have to stop and go back? They say, are you organized enough to do this? I know one family that's homeschooling three right now at one time. Number four, homeschooling requires knowledge. This doesn't mean you have to have a PhD, but it does mean several things. You need to have some good basic reading skills. If you are a poor reader, how are you going to teach your child to read? If you don't have good basic reading skills, then you can't teach your children at home to read. Send them somewhere else. In the areas of math, with little bitty people, you should be able to handle the basic operations of addition, subtraction, and multiplication and division. I mean, I would hope that the people in this room could do that. There are people who cannot, who are parents. Now, if you are going to progress on into stuff that I can't pronounce, like algebra, differential equations, and physics, then you must be prepared to do that, teach it, or get someone else to do that for you. So it does take some knowledge of the subject that you are teaching. It does not even require a college degree. We will talk about that in a minute. Your school, number whatever's next, your homeschool needs a balanced approach. Now here's a statement that is classic. Usually a person who is going to homeschool their children does not look around and need approval from other people. That's good because they usually don't get it. So they are usually do not need approval. They do not need acceptance. They have made their mind up that this is good for their children and this is what they are going to do. And it does not matter what anybody else thinks. Now, in one sense, that's okay. On the other side is that if you're going to do this, you must realize that there are some things that you need to do. Don't just teach all Bible. Like I said, the Christian school, just don't teach all the subjects. You have the perfect balance in there. Some of you are saying, well, how would I do that? There are curriculums today that are available for people who want to homeschool their children just like they were in public school. You can write and get an entire curriculum, math, science, English, social studies, and it can be sent to your home and you can teach your children at home with this curriculum. Let's talk about the legal aspects of homeschooling for a few minutes. State compulsory school attendance laws are basically pretty much a mixed bag. The state of Nebraska has taken some very, very hard stands in the last few years about homeschoolings. And I believe this article that I read says Missouri does allow homeschooling education with not much harassment. Some school districts will allow you to homeschool if you keep certain requirements. And if you are challenged, there are two things that would be interesting for you to do. Number one, if you're challenged on the issue of child neglect, see, this is brought lots of times. Child neglect. You are neglecting your child because Johnny is not in public schools. It's very easy to win this one by the test scores that you have. You're not neglecting your children. There is one that your children are truant from school. I used to be a principal of a school, and truancy used to drive me nuts. I used to just bang on doors, get those kids in school, and probably I would still be doing that. Get those kids in school. So you can be, and I have brought legal cases against parents who would not bring their children to school, but they didn't have them in private schools, and they weren't homeschooling them. They were keeping them home to keep the baby while mom was out boogieing. And so I would go get them. I have brought cases against them. I have had truant officers go and get them and bring the children to school. If this is against you, there's a lot of areas that you can proclaim. And one of them is, of course, the religious affiliation. And there's the amendments to the Constitution, 1st, 9th, and 14th Amendments are on your side regarding the religious affiliation and what you do, want to do with your children at home as long as they're getting a good education. The willingness by courts to do battle with homeschoolers is dying down. It's going away. You know, 10 or 15 years ago or whenever it became the fad to homeschool, you know, courts, school districts and courts were taking parents to court all over the nation, and parents were being harassed and badgered, and maybe some of them should have been. They were claiming falsely that they were homeschooling, and they didn't have a clue. But now it's organized, and courts are becoming more and more reluctant to take parents to court for homeschooling. I have a list of things that if you're going to homeschool that you might want to do, and if you don't want to take them down, that's fine. First is keep attendance. I mean, John is in his bedroom. He's not in the... he's sick, so he didn't go to school today. Count him absent. Nobody in their right mind is going to believe that your son, homeschooling or not, attended school every day. There's very few that get perfect attendance awards. Have a school desk. I don't care where you have it, if it's in your living room. Have a little area which you have got a desk with all the books, all the materials set aside. If the truant officer, the legal aspect came in, you do have a place. Right here is where Johnny does his schoolwork. We've been in the third month of school and Johnny's missed 3 days because of sickness. But when he's here, this is where he studies. Here's his books, here's his maps, here's his this, here's his that, and here's his other. You have a list of the subjects that you are teaching. You have a curriculum and here they are, officer. Here they are, Ossifer. My list of subjects that I'm teaching. Give standardized tests. The Iowa Test of Basic Skills is a great one. Everybody in the world takes that. Know the laws of your state. Do not be intimidated. Know your laws. Write for them, get them, and study them. And keep records of the progress. Keep tests. Whatever you give, keep them on file. You see, that's why you got to be organized if you're going to do this. It's just not something you do on the backstroke. If you're going to do it that way, don't do it. Now, here's a question. You keep your kids home all the time. They're never going to be able to associate. They're never going to hear anybody say a bad word. Their earlobes are going to fall off. The first time they hear a bad word, they're going to have a stroke. Their ears are going to fall off and they're going to run and hide. Socialization, you may be giving them a good education, but they're not going to be able to just relate. Well, the only thing wrong with that is it's, and I thought that. I preached that and I yelled at hollered at people that used to homeschool and I've had to go back and get some forgiveness. The University of Chicago professor says, we're back to certain aspects of the socialization. He says, if we could keep American children out of school till they're about 9 years old, we could reduce its reading failure to about 2%. John Wesley Taylor of Andrews University tested 224 homeschooled children. They were drawn from a random sample of 45,000. I told you it was 20,000, but it's 45,000 students. And they were given a Pierce-Harris socialization test. Now, you'll have to concentrate with me on this one. It is a psychological profile test in which kids were given the test in public schools. And it was done so that 25, 25, 25, 25. 25% of the kids in public schools would score this. Another 25 would score that. The top is the best. I mean, that is the most psychologically, socially sound, adaptable kid. Now, they found that 25% of those in public schools scored here. 25% scored here. That's not the second quarter of the year. This is the second quarter of the test. So 100% of the students tested in public high schools, they arranged the testing so that it worked out this way. They turned around, gave the same test to homeschoolers. And you would see that the top score, the fourth quarter, the top score where the kid is the most psychologically, socially adaptable and secure, 77.7% of all homeschoolers scored in the top bracket. That has to speak a little bit to the socialization and homeschooling of children. It is getting where people do not want to, I'm hurrying, I promise. People do not want to have to take their children to court. I mean, legislators do not want to take children to court because one of our Supreme Court justices, Sandra Day O'Connor, was homeschooled until she was in the third or fourth grade. People in our American history who have been homeschooled were John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, Abraham Lincoln. Of course, these were before the dirt. But then you've got Franklin Roosevelt, Sandra Day O'Connor, George Patton, we won't speak about him, Douglas MacArthur, Winston Churchill, Jim Ryan, Agatha Christie, Pearl Buck, and Thomas Edison. I'd like to give you a few scores, and then we will slip out in the night because Jill is sharpening her knife down at the castle house. I want to show you a few scores on homeschooling, and I'm really sorry, but you've come this far, and you can't get out. I've gotten disorganized. I apologize. You see, we didn't homeschool. This is the Tennessee State Schools. As I say, I wrote all over. This is reading scores for the Tennessee State Schools. This is the state public schools. This is homeschooling. It's the Tennessee State tested all the students. This is part of the requirements. If you're going to homeschool, you must be tested by the state school system. And this was the results. With math, there was not that big a difference, although there was some difference, not that significant. Here again is the Tennessee State Schools on the basic skills test. And again, the homeschoolers is white. And you can see that in most of the cases, the scores were higher. And here again, in math, they were a lot closer. In reading, there was a greater variation. It seems that homeschoolers are not doing that well as they would like to think they are in math. The state of Alaska. The reason I've got just a few states is it's just been doing this such a small length of time, and the states are just beginning to coordinate with homeschoolers that there's just a trifling of information, but it will get more and more as the years go by because more people are becoming homeschooling terrorists. Final score, final one. This is Arkansas, grade 4, grade 7. And you can see this is the Little Rock schools. These are the non-Little Rock schools. This is Pulaski County schools. This is the state of Arkansas. And this is homeschoolers. You can see reading, math, language, science, and social studies. In every case, whether it's the city of Little Rock, the surrounding city of Little Rock, the county of Pulaski County, or the state of Arkansas, homeschoolers win almost hands down every time. I say it is highly possible that I have struck a discord with many of you. I made no attempt to do that. This was the results of my study. I think that if you were to go and do your study, you would find basically the same material. This is not to encourage you to do anything. With the information I've given you, I think that as parents, you have the responsibility to go and decide what you need to do with your children. And again, this was only done because I've been asked so many times what I thought and did not feel that I had an answer. At least now I feel I have a grasp of where things are and can speak to it at least fairly in an educated way. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you again for our kids. Thank you for the week. Thank you for the joy of serving you. We pray, Father, that you would protect our kids, keep them from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen.